All right. Welcome to Sabbath Lounge. This is Matt
and Jake.
We're glad to see you again, and we're bringing you our faces yet once again, so you just can't get rid of us.
That's right.
So, well, Jake, just recently we started talking about the new moon.
New moon, right.
And so, you know, what is the new moon? What is this? We're looking at this word right here, Jake. What did we
Kodesh?
Start with?
Well, because it's translated month. And also moon, and there's confusion about, well, is it month or is it moon? So that's kind of why we wanted to start with this.
Yeah. So you can look that up. It's real easy to do a search in Blue Letter Bible. And I do before we get started, we haven't done what we usually do. And we do ask that you like this, you share this, you find us on different platforms and on the internet. So Jake, where are we?
We're on SabbathLounge.com. Yeah. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. We're on all the interwebs.
Yes. So if you just Google Sabbath Lounge, you'll find it. Spotify, all kinds of places. And we are trying to grow the channel. And like we've said many times, there's no money. In fact, this costs us money, and yeah, there's no money being made. And we're trying out different cameras and trying to find out what works for us. And we struggled a little bit today.
Yeah.
Again, but it's working right now. So here we go.
For now. Yeah. Yeah. So if it cuts off halfway,
you'll know why. We didn't pay the internet.
Watch
bill.
Part two.
So, but we do appreciate you, taking a minute to join us. And we also want to say that, we are trying to learn about, Yahuwah's word, and we come from backgrounds where we've got baggage just like you to kind of get rid of in our brain, and we're working on these things, and we try to go back to the source, and we want you to go back to the source. So don't take our word for this. Be Bereans and search the scriptures and see if what we're saying is true and what it means to you. And so that's kind of where we find ourselves, as we're trying to be Bereans, trying to research it. And this kind of came up because we talked about the new moon and blowing the shofar, which happened this week. And so Jake, did you sight or spot the new moon?
I did. Yeah. I did. I saw the new moon and blew the shofar. And I wonder if my neighbor was concerned, but
they didn't report you to the authorities.
No.
Did you have a mask on?
No, I just let all the...
Can you blow a shofar with your mask on? If you can, please show us your video.
Yes. Attach that video.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we talked about Kodesh, and we talked about blowing the new moon, blowing the shofar at the new moon. And many of you probably did that. And we did. I did observe the new moon as well. You know, it's one of those things that came up in our discussion, and people were like, they didn't understand the new moon. And so just in case you don't understand how this thing works.
Matt's about to confuse you about how the new moon works. So
no,
pay
it's
attention.
Simple. It's
very
simple. It's very simple. Every time at sunset, that's when you're going to see the new moon. That's when you see it. Happens in sunset, and it's going to occur in the western sky. And so some people didn't understand that. But that's when you're going to spot it, just like you're going to always spot the full moon in the east. It happens also after sunset, but just as the sun set, the moon rises. So those are the two times a year. But, you know, the full moon is the 15th, and so that you're kind of halfway to the new moon. So
the two times in the month that mm-hmm. happens.
Yeah. So... And so that's kind of just a generic, you know, tip if you have trouble. Well, how do I find the new moon? It's so confusing. I don't understand. So, you know, that's kind of that's where you're going to look for it.
Right.
And it's going to be a little tiny sliver. It's going to be low in the horizon.
It'll look like a shofar.
Kind of. Yeah. So. Or a fingernail, like if somebody clipped their fingernail and mm-hmm. threw it in the sky.
Yes.
That's probably a gross way to look at it. But anyway, digressing. Genesis 1:14 is where we're going to start. So in Genesis, Jake, will you read that?
So, and Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years.
Okay.
So there.
Yeah, we're done.
There, I said it.
Thank you for watching. Yeah. So, but, you know, clearly we have the moon in the sky to help us keep up with time, moon yes. and sun. And so, and I do think, don't you think, Jake, that in today's world, people don't look up, they don't look at the sky.
Yeah, especially if you're in the city, it's hard to, it's so hard to see this, the stars and the, and all that stuff. So you just give up. I can't see it anyway. What am I, no reason to look up there.
Yeah. You can always see the moon though, but
yeah,
but I do think
that's old news. Mm-hmm. That's, we've been there. We've done that. Mm,
we've conquered it. I can see the flag.
Exactly.
From my telescope.
Exactly. So,
I've always, but as a kid, I was always, that's the first thing I did with the telescopes. Like, oh, I'm going to find the flag. Wait, I don't see it. So that is kind of interesting. That's a whole nother topic.
Yes. Different day.
Different day. But clearly they had, Yahuwah made these for us to keep track of time. Yes. So did he make time, like we know it today? You know, that's another good question. You know, do you think he made time like we measure today in minutes, hours, seconds, and to, you know, a 12-hour clock or a 24-hour clock?
Well, I think when they talk about doing things at this hour of the day, mm-hmm. then there's probably an hourly kind of mm-hmm. tracking that goes on, but I'm not exactly sure.
Well, welcome back, yep. Jake. We had a momentary, a little bit of change, as you can tell.
Little lapse in our setup here.
So we did have trouble with our camera, and we just maybe aren't meant to have our faces on this thing, and maybe we're fine with that.
Yeah.
So it sure is a lot simpler not to have the video.
Yeah.
So
we'll have IT work on it.
Yeah.
Tech support.
We'll put that in R&D. So we were talking about if... you know, if who invented the modern day clock? And I do think that's an interesting rabbit to chase, for sure. And it's been one that I've discussed in my life, because I don't think man was meant to deviate his time into minutes, hours, and seconds. And I think it immediately causes stress. There's just little things like, have you ever seen the research about how many breaths per minute you take?
It's very high. I don't remember the numbers, but I have seen it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like people in Africa and people in places like that, where they don't necessarily, now that's probably not true anymore, because in Africa they all have cell phones, and at one time they didn't. And so now they probably track time just like the rest of us. But, you know, definitely people in different parts of the world where time isn't such a deal like it is in America. You know, I do think they're healthier. There's something to it. They're maybe more at peace. I think sometimes when we're on such a time schedule where literally you've got like 5 minutes to do this, 5 minutes to do this, and if it gets messed up, then your whole day is blown.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so. Definitely. But I do think there's a, remember the parable about the guy that, I always, for some reason, I always picture it this way. So you go down to the Home Depot parking lot and you say, I need three guys jump in the back of the truck and take them to work. Mm-hmm. And so there's a parable where you do that at the beginning of the day,
right.
and you take mm-hmm. them to work, and they're working, and then you go at the last hour of the day and bring them. So they were tracking time mm-hmm. in some way. I'm just not sure exactly to what degree they were doing that and how it really affected their day to day.
Right. Right. Yeah, clearly there's no, I'm not saying you're not supposed to track time, but I do think the way we, there's something about how we track time in the modern era mm-hmm. that probably is not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so we talked about clearly these things are set in the sky. Another scripture that goes with it is Psalm 104:19. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting.
Right. So the sun and the moon are obviously important. And then we came to Numbers, and this is where it starts to get into more of a, is this something we should be doing kind of situation. So here in Numbers 10:10, it says, on the day of your gladness also, and at your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. They shall be a reminder of you before your Elohim. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So it seems like there's a blowing of the trumpet. Now, this here, I think, is talking about the silver trumpets.
Right. And we said we weren't going into the whole silver trumpet
discussion. Right. We won't go into all that. But point being, there's some acknowledging of the new moon, of the beginning of the months, that Yahweh wants us to be aware that that's what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another discussion that's happened in our group is we've talked about this concept of burnt offerings being prayers. And also think it's just kind of interesting about considering that prayers could be your offering to the Father. Another offering to me would be fasting. You know, when you fast, you're literally burning the fat in the temple, burning the incense. And so there's definitely several things to explore. If you have never explored, you know, what those kinds of things mean, you should check it out at least and explore those rabbit trails. Cause I do think there's something to us, you know, praying in our temple or our tabernacle, you know, that mm-hmm. is lined up with these things, since we don't have the priests and we don't have actual burnt offerings that we can do.
Right. And it does talk about, you know, offering your sacrifices of praise.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be interesting too, because, you know, in trying to teach our kids about like prayer etiquette and all this stuff, it's like,
did you say prepper?
Yes. Prepper, the prepper prayer etiquette.
Okay.
We always say the prepper prayer in our house.
What is the prepper prayer?
No,
it's kind of a mouthful.
Yes.
Sorry.
Anyway, so in trying to teach our kids the right etiquette and at prayer time, it's, you know, it's a
the proper prepper prayer. I can't even say it.
I can't either.
Sorry.
But it's a, you know, you're sacrificing what you want to be thinking about, what you want to be doing to spend time with Yahweh. So it is a sacrifice. You know, especially if you're going through tough times. Now it's a sacrifice of praise. I'm praising him when I physically do not want to be praising, because I'm in a bad way for some reason. Mm. I'm going through some kind of trial. So they're definitely a sacrifice and an offering.
Yeah, no, that's good.
But we won't go down that rabbit trail.
And then Psalm 81:3 says, blow the trumpet in the new moon at the time appointed or on solemn feast. And then, you know, it goes on, it says, for this was a statue for Israel and a law of Yahuwah of Jacob. So it's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So we come out of Numbers 10, where he's saying to acknowledge this with the blowing of the trumpets. And here in Psalms, he's talking about it again. And it's, I don't think it's the new moon, you know, acknowledgement is necessarily a big thing talked about in Torah circles. I know it's mentioned, but definitely not as much as like feast days and Sabbath and, you know, eating clean and those kind of things.
Yeah. And then there's another scripture in Samuel about this, 1 Samuel 20, verse 5.
Yeah, it says, David said to Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit at table with the king, but let me go, that I may hide myself in the field till the third day at evening.
Which clearly has shown me that they knew how to track the new moon, knew how to predict the new moon. And
you know. It looks like the king is having a feast on the new moon, mm-hmm. is what it looks like. Some kind of gathering.
Mm-hmm. He was clearly going to go sit at the table. So I didn't mean to jump there, but I did.
Oh, man.
So,
Okay, and then the next one is Isaiah 66.
23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith Yahuwah, or the Elohim.
Yes, and then Yeah, and so there's let's go on to the next verse too. It shall go forth, and back to Isaiah, man.
Oh.
And it shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their womb shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. They shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. So there's, you know, there's people that are coming to him in the new moons and the Sabbath, and there's some that are quite the opposite, it would appear.
Yeah.
So, and this ties in with what Yeshua talks about being in, you know, being in the fire and that kind of thing.
I don't want to be in the fire.
No.
I'll pass.
Pass. Hard pass.
Ezekiel 46:3 says, the people of the land shall bow down at the entrance of the gate before the Elohim on the Sabbaths and the new moons.
Right. So this is just another example. It's talking about being, you know, right here, right? The gate to the inner court faces east, shall be shut on the 6 working days, but on the Sabbath day it shall be open. So this is talking about the new temple, mm-hmm. the new Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and how there's going to be, there will be sacrifices and things going on from a perfected, a cleansed Levitical priesthood, giving sacrifice the way it was meant to be done. And that's where he's talking about here. And the and it'll be open on Sabbaths and new moons for you to come and give your worship and yeah. offerings and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That's a good observation about it. Okay. And then Amos 8:4-5. Hear this, ye who trampled on the needy and bring the poor of the land to an end, saying, when will the new moon be over? What that we shall that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath that we shall offer wheat for sale, that we will make an
Ephah
small and the shekel great, and deal deceitfully with false balances.
Yeah, so this one's interesting because he's talking about the attitude of people that are wanting, you know, obviously can't wait for the new moon to be over so I can go sell my grain again. So clearly selling grain on the new moon seemed to be a, you know, seemed to be a bad practice.
Seemed like it was a Sabbath?
Yeah, it was almost treated as a Sabbath. I mean, if you look in probably the way, I don't think you really see, you know, buying and selling really condemned until like Nehemiah, when he shuts out the people coming in and selling things on Sabbath. But I don't know if it talks about new moon in Nehemiah for the same thing. But this seems to be giving it the same kind of weight, mm-hmm. wherein, you know, you don't buy and sell, and that we may offer wheat for sale for the Sabbath. And making the ephah, which is the offering, you're making that small, and the shekel, the money that you're interested in, you're making that greater than your offering.
Yeah. No, that's good. And we had 2 Kings 4:23.
And he said, why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. She said, all is well. So this looks to be talking about the way that, you know, it's similar to what we read in Ezekiel, where you come at the new moon and at the Sabbath. And he's saying here, well, it's neither of those, so why are you, you know, planning on going?
Mm-hmm. And this, the context was Elisha raising was it the widow's son, basically, the Shemanite woman? And it's right after the widow's oil, in the oil.
Right.
And he raised, so that's who the she was this lady. who had lost her son right there.
Right. Now you've done it.
I know. And then 2 Chronicles 23:31. And whenever burnt offerings were offered to the Elohim on the Sabbaths, new moons, and the feast days, according to the number required of them regularly before Elohim.
Yeah, so in Numbers 28, I believe it is, they talk about bringing offerings on the new moons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it's talking about here is...
just another reference of something's happening on the new moon that's significant.
Yeah.
Pay attention in knowing when it is, acknowledging it. And then 2 Chronicles 8:13.
As the duty of each day required, offering according to the commandment of Moses for the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the three annual feasts, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of Weeks, and the Feast of Booths. So here again, it's, you know, talks about how Moses, the commandment of Moses, points to giving offerings on the new moon cycle,
mm-hmm.
on the new moon days.
I didn't pay attention, but it changed versions on us there, but I guess we'll just go with it. And then Colossians 2:16 says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink in regard to festival or new moon or Sabbath.
Yeah, so... clearly, there was new moon things going on. It's always in the same context of with a Sabbath or with the feasts. Mm-hmm. It's funny because it's left out of Leviticus 23, where you would think this would be there.
Right.
So I think that's why it kind of gets downplayed a lot, is because it's not in that Leviticus 23. These are the feast days.
Right, official. And what's interesting about Colossians that's worth chasing is, you know, that there definitely were some pagan things happening, and there was a mixing of holy with profane, and they were, you know, because the whole other side of this that we are not going to discuss necessarily, but... there, you know, the satanic side, Satan, has taken all of these days and basically twisted them and made them into his own thing. You know, definitely in Wiccan and things like that, they talk about a high Sabbath and honoring the Sabbath and
moon new days, moons, yeah.
And moon is very important. And so I think in Colossians, you have some mixing where they were mixing some weird stuff like that. And he's telling them to do the right way, and that the people over here in this camp who were still wanting to worship the pagan new moon festival, he's saying, I think that's the context of it, and I think that's something to be explored maybe at a later date, but I do think
right.
there's a little more context to that. And but because a lot of Christians take that scripture and go, well, see, right there.
See, stop judging me for not doing your
exactly
new moon, Sabbath, and feast. Well, yeah. Yeah, clearly they were doing something different than the pagans around them. And that's who is passing judgment on them, is don't let these pagans who are seeing you do a different mm-hmm. new moon thing than what they are into.
But I think everyone wants to paint this picture is this was the
stop
church.
Judging me.
Well, this right. was the church
yeah.
that he's talking to, and there were some people who are wanting to still do the Hebrew kind of thing. And
yeah.
I don't know that that's the correct understanding of that.
Right.
But that is what's commonly taught. And so if you've never researched that, you should. You should check into it.
Yes. So. It's typically the complete opposite of the way commentators discuss it.
Yeah. So definitely, you know, we kind of, how do we wrap this up and put a bow on it? Since you and I both really like to put bows on things.
Yes, I'm a bow man myself.
Yes, you are a bow man. In fact, yes, he's got a bow. And well, you have already seen the video, so you know he doesn't have a bow in his hair.
Correct.
And I'm glad he doesn't, because I think there's a command against that.
Yes.
No bow in thou hair. No, it doesn't say that. But it does say you're not supposed to look like a girl.
Not supposed to dress like it. Yeah. So
unless you're a girl,
right?
So
awkward silence. So, so the bow on this is you know, research it for yourself. Check out why the new moon is so important and why it seems like there should be some kind of acknowledging of it in our Torah walk, and find out if that's something that you think you should be doing.
Yeah, and go back to, you know, Blue Letter Bible is a great source. You can look up this word. You can see how many times Kodesh was used in different contexts and different places in the scripture where you see it. And that's a good place to start. And clearly there is something to it. And I think to me, it goes back to where we started. This is, you know, he at the very beginning, beginnings are important, clearly, yes, and of anything. And at the very beginning, he says, I made this as timepieces for you. And so that's how we count everything. That's how we also determine signs. And I do think we're supposed to look at the sun, moon, and stars. And I think at night we should try to find the stars. And I do think, you know, I think that the sky looks a little different to me, here this summer of 2020. The stars, there's just something, and I haven't quite figured it out, but at night, when I'm looking, especially to what would be the south, that southern night sky, there's just something different about it. And it may be simply the fact that I probably observed the night sky more in the winter because it gets dark early, mm-hmm, and I tend to be out more. Mm-hmm. And in the summer, maybe I'm not as out after 9 o'clock looking at the stars outside, maybe as I do in the winter. But at least pay attention and understand that the sky does look different, and the night sky looks different at different times, and there are different things that you can see. And, you know, and I've been out looking for this comet, and I never saw it. But I did see a giant shooting star one night.
We saw that too. Mm-hmm. It was actually
last Shabbat, I think.
Yes, we were on our way home from, mm-hmm, Shabbat, mm-hmm, and from fellowship. And just as we were coming down the road to our house, we saw something fall from the sky, and we're like, whoa. Mm-hmm. We're like, is that the comet that Matt was talking about? And turns out, no.
No.
But it was interesting.
Yeah, let us know if you saw it too.
Yeah.
We're doing some research and we're plotting that on a map.
We're plotting all the UFO sighting. I mean,
Bigfoot?
Unmanned, no, aerial
phenomena. UFO? Area 51? No, but I do think it's worth paying attention to. And the whole concept of the shofar, you know, we're supposed to hear the shofar and we're supposed to be tuned in to his feast, his timing, and his shofar. And I think that all of that, that's really what this is supposed to be pointing us to and gearing us up for.
Yeah. We're supposed to be paying attention.
Paying attention.
Yep.
Well, as always, we appreciate you taking a minute to tune in and to find us and to like us, because Jake, I need more friends.
Yes, you do.
But
no, I'm a good friend.
You are.
I'm not a lot of friends.
Yes, yes,
that's the problem.
But you know, I find that I'd rather have a few good close friends than a whole bunch of friends who don't really care
like
about
you
me.
for my good looks.
Yes, and so sometimes, yes, I have a hard time with that, Jake.
Yeah, I'm sure. So. I'm sure you do.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. But we do appreciate you taking a minute to listen, and we just appreciate it if you could help us grow our channel and share this with as many people as possible. And thank you for listening to Shabbat Lounge.